From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 477, Group Policy is Not Dead, with guest Jeremy Moskowitz. Recorded Monday, May 23rd, 2016. Run As Radio is produced each week by Plop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Bringing back one of my favorites today, it's Jeremy Moskowitz, a 13-year group policy MVP who runs GPAnswers.com, a community forum for group policy enthusiasts. He teaches hands-on training to administrators who want to make their world more secure using group policy, and also founded PolicyPack Software, which makes an innovative add-on for group policy, which delivers, locks down, and remediates operating system, browser, and application settings. Welcome back, sir.
I love to be back.
I'm glad you're here. You know, so you're another one of my conference friends, right? We only ever see each other at shows.
Yeah. It's like, we're a little older. Yeah. Oh, I gained a little weight. You lost a little weight.
Yeah. It goes up and down, right? I'm sure we're trading off back and forth.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, Active Directory, none of this stuff's going away. You know, we're more of the same. And I love this blog post you've got. I'll include a link to it in the show. Group Policy is Not Dead.
That's right. Yeah, you know, I wrote a manifesto.
Yeah, that puts you in crazy land right there, man.
I love it. Look.
You and the Unabomber.
That's right. You're over 40. You can have a little crazy now. Okay? So that's exactly right. I entitled it, anytime, you know, manifesto does not necessarily mean that you're crazy, yes. But I did in fact start off that blog entry with, if manifestos mean you're crazy, that means I must be crazy, because right. I'm crazy finally about people. Let's get down to understanding that group policy is not dead. And I go into explaining in excruciating detail why that's the case.
And, but obviously there's concerns, because Active Directory is not this necessarily the center of the universe for everything, and group policy is utterly dependent on Active Directory.
Yeah. Well, look, in fact, why don't we jump to the end of the story, I think the end of the story, we can work our way backward, yep. Which is that people are interestingly reading about, head important guys at Microsoft saying things like, you got to be careful with what you do next, that kind of thing.
Right.
But not saying what is next. So long story short, one of the things that kind of happened recently, and this is sort of an update to the blog entry, you know who Jeffrey Snover is? Amazingly nice guy.
Yep. Just father of PowerShell. Just had him on the show again, talking a little nano server.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So like, we're all on the same page in terms of what the future looks like in yes. terms of nano server is going to do, and how DSC is the way to manage nano server. It is one of the ways rather to manage nano server. And so like on May 10th, by way of example, Jeffrey posted almost like a throwaway line on his Twitter that, and I'll just quote it because I happen to have it right in front of me. He wrote, desired state configuration DSC is the replacement for group policy. It provides better semantics for server scenarios.
Did he really say that?
Yeah. Yeah, but hold on. So when he did that, my inbox started lighting up like a Christmas tree, as you might expect.
No kidding.
But then 20 minutes later, he posted another statement. So same day, 20 minutes later, and this is another Jeffrey Snover direct Twitter quote, group policy is very well suited to client scenarios, which is why you saw a big set of new GPs in Win 10.
Right.
Okay. Then my mailbox stopped. Okay.
So first he scared everybody, then he dialed it back.
Yeah, well, it's not even that he dialed it up or back. In other words, I don't feel like Jeffrey was trying to rock the boat. I think what he was saying, if we read the first statement again, very clear, DSC is the replacement for group policy with regards to server scenarios.
Right.
And you know what? Couldn't agree more with him.
I totally get that. All right, so of course, Nano Server doesn't even run Active Directory, so group policy is off the radar, but why would you want to apply policies to servers in the first place?
Well, Nano Server will join Active Directory.
Okay.
It will join it, but it has no what we call group policy plumbing.
Right, of course, because they're trying to keep it as small as possible.
Well, right. So this is going to be interesting the way this plays out. You could argue that, okay, Nano Server is really cool. It's 400 megs. It boots in 2 seconds. It takes 40 seconds to install, comma, it has no group policy, capital S support. Okay. So therefore, what does that mean? It means that it's fantastic for scenarios where you bring it up, you give it a set of running instructions through DSC. It gets configured however long that takes, and it does its job. If you're, on the other hand, though, what has also happened very recently is that there's a bunch of kind of transitional tools between the way that servers have been managed in the past. And I kind of want to talk about some of those inside group policy land to this new DSC model. So said another way, I think the statement's great. In other words, I would not flipped out at all that Nano Server has no group policy support.
Right.
No plumbing anyway. And as Jeffrey said, that DSC is the replacement for group policy with regards to server scenarios because it has better semantics for server scenarios. I couldn't agree more. Said another way, a third way, there are kind of ways that are already in the box that aren't super great with regards to managing servers, and they use group policy as their delivery mechanism. So those two channels would be the Windows Security Configuration Wizard and the Windows Security Compliance Manager.
Oh.
So those two tools give you the ability to sort of, well, the first tool, the Configuration Wizard, it's been in the box since the, like, I think 2003 Service Pack 1 or something like that. And it's kind of got a good idea. The idea is let's touch a specific machine, figure out what it might take to make it more secure, and pop out a configuration document that when you apply using group policy will make this server and other servers like it more secure.
Right.
Well, it's okay, but it doesn't really ensure that all the things you might want to do on a server are going to be there. It doesn't tell you how to spin up a server.
No.
It doesn't tell you how to sort of maintain it. It's sort of like a one-time best action there. And DSC is meant to sort of fix that problem. So in a way, going back to Jeffrey's comment, I couldn't agree more. If you want to replace that tool with DSC, seems like a good thing. And then the second one would be the Security Compliance Manager, which is a series of guidance documents and these things called baselines, which you can then convert into a group policy object and get them over to your server. And again, in both of these cases, it's sort of kind of somebody else's idea of how to make your world more secure. Instead of, here is a gaggle of guaranteed wins that when you do this thing, your server will be in a state that you want. So what I think Jeffrey is saying is, if we want to make our servers more secure, there's a better way to do it, and DSC is the way to do it, thus replacing these tools. And I'm interpreting what Jeffrey is saying here, but I have a high degree of confidence that's what he means in his Twitter feed.
Yeah, you know, servers and clients are such different machines, right? You never worried about random installations of software on a server. You should never be worried about where they're browsing to or what browser features are on or any of those things. It's just like they're different critters. Servers are supposed to be consistent and stable. I mean, that's what DSC is about.
And not only that, I mean, when I think about what PowerShell is best at, PowerShell is best at approaching a machine or service or thing that's online guaranteed right now, reading something, and then making a decision and writing something else. In other words, we have to know that that's online right now. For every computer in this scope, do this thing. Or right. For every process we see, spit out a PID. Like, we have to know that that thing is there. Client computers? Is it there right now? Oh, I don't know. Is Sally's machine definitely in the office, or did she turn it off? Or did Sally take her laptop on vacation?
Right.
Like, if you don't know, then you can't really use PowerShell as a client configuration tool, because you can't say for every computer do this thing unless you did it every second of the day to make sure that was there. Group policy, by way of example and contrasting, of course, it's in the box. It's always on and always working. So when the computer turns on, no matter what its story is, provided it can see Active Directory, it will just connect up to the mothership, download new or changed GPOs, and bam, you've got whatever configuration you want on your client machine. So this is a perfect example of one of the myriad of scenarios where group policy is not dead and it's best for client machines.
I mean, that being said, there's a whole class of personal computer that do not run Active Directory. And when I say personal computer, I mean smartphones.
Yes, that's right. I mean, when it comes to phones, the group policy is definitely not the approach. There is no group policy engine on iPhones or Android or even real Windows.
Right.
So when it comes to those things, Microsoft has a a whole chunk of a spiral arm of the galaxy, as I like to say, to try to handle that problem. And that's their Intune service, which of course is a competitor to things like AirWatch or MobileIron or other things that are like
that. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of companies. You could tell when a space hasn't been well solved because there's so many products in the space.
Not only are there a lot of products, but it turns out they all kind of have the same Kool-Aid.
Right.
Like, they all kind of do exactly or darn close to the same thing, or maybe one's got a prettier UI, or one's got a couple more spit and polish reporting features, but ultimately, it turns out they're all using the same secret sauce underneath the hood, and this is a new cousin that's in the box to group policy called the MDM client. It's, sometimes people also call it Inbox MDM or the MDM platform.
Right.
But MDM is a new inbox cousin to group policy that will do some magic that group policy would be, it'd be cool if it did, but it doesn't, and that's okay. Which is to say, take a smaller directive and get it over the wire to computers or phones that may be on low bandwidth. Okay.
Right.
So using XML. And that MDM is just another channel to get some directives over. And it's not trying to compete with group policy is sort of the interesting thing. How would you put a shortcut on a desktop using MDM? Answer, right. You can't.
Yeah.
You want to put a printer out there with MDM? You can't. You want to kill the camera? That's a great thing. You can definitely kill the camera with MDM. But MDM is not trying to take over group policy's position. Its job is to deliver a bunch of settings about the device, some about the user experience, but mostly about the device, such that, you know, that device is better managed for the case where somebody brings their own device and wants to join it to a corporate network. So, I mean, join it to a cloud service and get it controlled by the corporate entity.
And in some respects, so Intune is absolutely a requirement when we're dealing with smartphones related to our businesses. And group policy, absolutely a logical choice when you talk about Windows client machines. But you can use Intune on Windows 10 machines, client machines.
Yep.
Should you, I guess, is the question.
Well, there's no downside. You just may not get all the things you expect.
Right.
So, for instance, it's got good support for firewall, but has no support for printers. It's got right. good support for camera, but it has no support for kill the control panel. Like, right. So it just depends on
what
you want.
And you definitely don't want to use both.
Well, you wouldn't want to use both if you recognize that the settings are exactly a match.
Right.
Because then you sort of get into which one wins under what circumstance.
Who got applied first, like,
last,
yeah.
Last, another.
Mixing right. management tools can get really ugly.
It can. And I will say that there's a little bit of good news on the horizon here, which is, and this gets us to another management tool that Microsoft has, which of course everybody's heard of it, SCCM.
Yeah.
And SCCM, of course, just to say it out loud, it's the way to manage mostly the device experience of, you know, real Windows machines. And if you happen to have an Intune account, you can marry the two between SCCM and Intune, thus giving you an on-premise console way to push the same kind of buttons you would in Intune. So you want to, you know, manage your iPhones and Android and Windows phones through Intune, but you don't want to go to Intune console. You want to do it with your on-prem SCCM. You can do that.
Because I've only ever used SCCM in conjunction with group policy. It's every, you know, all domain join machines. Like, it just makes sense to do those two things together when you're deploying a new machine.
Yeah, exactly. But SCCM is going to be, you know, best at getting the operating system out there, getting software deployed. But Intune, you know, does a great job with phones and managing kind of just some areas of like the real Windows machine. Its main goal is not to try to take over group policy and all the 4,000 settings in policy land and security settings land and preferences land. It's got some, but when it comes to overlap, we talked about, you know, making sure that you use the one tool for that. But the bright light that I was referring to earlier is that if you do end up marrying SCCM and Intune together, those two teams are kind of connected.
Right.
And as such, it's a little harder to shoot yourself in the foot by doing multiple settings, or the same setting rather, with two tools, because those two teams are kind of connected a little bit.
But and I have also used SCCM to automate deployment of servers, but I don't really have ever applied group policy that way with a server as well. And I've never tried to use DSC on top of that, too.
Yeah, well, so I think there's a famous quote, and I think I might reference it in the blog entry, where Jeffrey Snover was once asked, hey, what happens if you use group policy and DSC at the same time? I think the answer to his to that quote is something where he says something like, if you put group policy and DSC together, they fight like two raccoons in a bag.
Which is not fair because raccoons generally cuddle.
Oh, yeah. No, they're super nice.
But a raccoon and a terrier in a bag, now you've got some trouble.
Again, if I'm interpreting Jeffrey here, he'll permit me to do so. I think what he's really saying is if you use any two tools that are trying to manipulate the exact same settings together, you're always going to get that experience.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair.
Yeah, I mean, you can substitute A for B in any capacity. If you have this and this management tool and you're trying to configure the same setting, they're going to fight like two raccoons in a bag. And that makes sense to me.
Give me 1 second to pay the bills here, because this episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by Chef, the automation platform for the DevOps workflow. You can use Chef to automate and manage it all: infrastructure, runtime environments, and applications. Chef works in the cloud or in your data center, on physical servers, virtual machines, and containers. Get started with Chef today at chef.io/runasradio. All right, what tool haven't we talked about in this suite as a whole? Because there's other ones that sort of Azure Active Directory, which is only sort of Active Directory. Like, it's not all of Active Directory.
Yeah, no, right. And just to be confusing, there's Azure Active Directory and Azure Active Directory, check this out, domain services.
Yes. And don't forget the new B2C service, too, which can do other pieces of things, too.
Well, that's a new one for me. But the two that I've got in my brain so far are Azure Active Directory and Azure Active Directory domain services. And we can break them down one by one. So the Azure Active Directory is basically a way for you to, when you're logging on to things that are cloudy, for it to be a proxy for it to do some magic. Now, what does that mean? It can mean like you're on premise and you want to go to Salesforce, and magically delicious, your password is passed through the cloud into Salesforce, and it's amazing. Yeah. Just log on. It's a miracle.
Well, and even better, you never knew that password, because that password is actually associated with your company and you have no rights to it. But we give you rights to be able to use it.
Right. It becomes a proxy for you to do stuff.
Then when you leave, you can't use it anymore, right? Like, I have total control over that. You've seen these disasters where, you know, somebody from the social media group at a company's let go and they actually hold the keys to those accounts. Ta-da.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. So that's a perfectly good use case. And there's another use case. The second big use case of Azure Active Directory is you go to Best Buy, or if you're another part of the world, you go to your local phone dealer and you pick the phone of your choice. And that's great. You get some credit to use that phone every month or whatever it is. Of course, you want some light management on that phone. And there's a wide variety of things that maybe you want to do. You want to turn off the camera, turn off the GPS, turn off the whatever things that you agree that your device will be managed. Fine. What Azure Active Directory will do is, when you, quote, join Azure Active Directory, it will forward your request to the MDM service of your choice. So for instance, if that's Intune or AirWatch or whatever you want, and it will then download and consume some of those MDM directives that we talked about. That's pretty cool. I can get behind that. That makes perfect sense. But when it comes to real badass Windows settings, like how do you want the computer to be configured? Do you want shortcuts? Do you want drive maps? Do you want the kill the control panel edict performed? Those kinds of things. MDM can't do that. It's not supposed to do that. It's not its job. That's where group policy comes in.
So Azure Active Directory Domain Services.
Okay, this one took me a long time to figure out. I like telling this story.
Right.
Which is, I got to go to the MVP Summit. We get these special insider briefings that we can't talk about.
And just for folks who've never been there, we also yell at the product teams quite a bit.
Yeah, I flew to Seattle to listen and learn about Azure Active Directory Domain Services. I'm like, well, and if you look at the graphic is cool. It's got a triangle. We all know what a triangle is. That's Active Directory, of course. And then in that triangle, it said the words group policy. And I'm like, that's it. The game's over. Something new. It's around the corner. And I sat there and I waited to hear my fate. As a group policy MVP, I thought, well, this is it. Everything's changed. It turns out Azure Active Directory Domain Services has got a really cool idea. It has nothing to do with client machines. So if you've got 10,000 endpoint computers, it has nothing to do with this. What is it? It's a way for your Azure servers to join a thing that pretends to be Active Directory, such that if you have, let's call it 12 clustered or shared or related, I don't know, IIS servers or ASP.NET servers or whatever servers you want to put in the cloud, that they will all act and quack exactly alike and pick up something that is a group policy object. So one GPO. So by way of example, you wouldn't want the event logs to have different constraints on them. Like, you wouldn't want one to have collect 2 gigabytes of event logs, the other one to collect 1 megabyte of event logs. That's not a good idea. You wouldn't get the same venting, you know, constraints on all your machines. You want them to act and quack alike. So this gives you the ability for those machines that are in Azure to join this thing. It pretends to be Active Directory and gives you, I've said it before, I'll say it out loud one more time, literally two GPOs. Two. One for any user who ever logs on, and one for any computer that ever logs on.
Two.
Yeah. No, you just you connect with it using the same kinds of tools you used before. So you use the real GPMC. You click there, the two GPOs are pre-created, and you can edit them to your heart's content, but you can't create new OUs. You can't create new GPOs. You can't use WMI. You can't do like anything that you'd want to do because it's not its point. The point is when a computer starts up and you want the, I don't know,
right.
the, like I said, the system log to maintain 2 gigabytes of logs, you want all those computers to quack exactly alike. And there's no way to move computers around. There's no way to change the GPO's focus or scope. So that one took me a long time to figure out.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, but of course, you're dealing with the cloud here, so you would not move a virtual machine this way. You would just make a new one under the new circumstances and destroy the old one.
I sort of see the idea where it's like you bring yet another, I don't know, I'm going to pretend it, yet another ASP.NET server in, and you want it so that when it's dragged in to, like, maybe it's in development and then it goes into production. When you drag it from development into production and you reboot it and it's joined to this thingamabob called Azure Active Directory Domain Services, boom, when it's rebooted, bam, it picks up the singular computer side group policy object that contains security settings for it to act like its other brothers.
Right. Because you want it to, you want those things to be identical. I mean, this is another thing DSC is supposed to deal with, although it doesn't deal with it on a group policy level.
That's right. That's right. So this is a channel. I mean, I think that's the thing that's sort of important. You know, another way to think about it is like you could use DSC to deliver settings, or if you're already entrenched in group policy, which is totally fine if you are with regards to servers, this gives you a way to do it for those servers that you happen to put in the cloud if that's something that you want to do.
So when you get down to the small business scale,
yep.
Because I think the pitch has largely been don't bother setting up Active Directory, just use Intune for everything. Yep. And I don't know if I agree with that because, I mean, AD is included with any copy of server, and that, you know, even at the smallest setups, I mean, I miss Small Business Edition, but given that that's gone, I still think with 10 workstations, you'd be better off with AD.
Let me take the air pump and blow 10 to 1,000, and then again to 10,000, and then again to 50,000, okay? If we go back to the blog entry that I know you're going to point to, the seminal piece of this, or the central piece of this, is me pointing to another blog entry that is, that kind of got me started on this, which is there's a graphic from the Intune team that describes, it kind of describes exactly why to maybe not use Intune, which is kind of ironic. Let me say that again. The Intune team has the description and graphic and flowchart that tells you why you wouldn't want to use Intune.
That's really
interesting,
isn't it?
I'm going to read the three blocks of this diagram that describe exactly the key focus here. Ready? Follow along with me. Ready? Is the device domain joined? Yes. If the answer is yes, you're going to manage it with group policy and or config manager / other third-party on-premise tools. That's it.
Right.
Let me say that one more time. If it's domain joined, use GPOs. If it's not domain
it's
joined,
not
then
domain
you have
joined?
To decide if you want what's called granular settings. And if granular is all the stuff we already talked about with group policy.
Right.
Deliver the, you know, kill the control panel, remove runoff start menu, deliver shortcuts, deliver drive maps. That's granular. Or do you want what's called intent, which is you don't care how it's done, / you don't care if you get a lot of those settings, then that would be Intune. So for instance, if you want to just kill the camera, okay, then if it's not domain joined, then you have no choice but to use something that can help you with the non-domain joined scenario. The Microsoft answer for that would be Intune. There are other ways to do that. And if it is domain joined and you also wanted to do fine-grained settings, you would, well, if it's domain joined, actually full stop. That's it. If you're domain joined, there's really not a lot else you could do. If it's not domain joined, then at that point, you can make a decision of do you want granular settings or not? And if you want granular settings, then again, you have to you have to use something that will get you those granular settings, and that's really not Intune MDM.
Right. So given that you want to use the fine grain settings and you want to use GPIO, does that mean then you better join the device to the domain?
The key takeaway here is that real Windows can join a domain, and anything that's not real Windows can't join a domain. So said yet another way, is a thing a real Windows machine? Oh, it is? Is it domain joined? Oh, it is? Then you should use group policy.
Right. If it's not domain joined, join it to domain and use group policy?
If you want granular level of control, yes. And if you're willing to go without granular level of control, you cannot domain join it to an MDM service and get whatever that MDM service allows you to do, which is not nearly as much.
No. It sounds to me like if you want granular control, and most people do, and it's just a very reasonable thing to say. It's like, yeah, we need control over these machines. They represent the tax surface. They need to be managed. We need to know what's going on with them. If it's possible to join domain, join it.
That's why when you started off your description of like, well, let's go down to 10 machines. I think 10 machines is a no-brainer. I mean, like, well, actually, 10 machines is the case where I would actually argue maybe the opposite approach. With 10 machines, maybe you don't need a domain. Maybe you can walk away from a domain at 10. Mm. But I think because at that point, maybe you don't even have a real admin. You just have like a...
Well, you almost certainly don't have an admin. You have somebody who's faking it like the rest of us, to be honest.
You got a computer guy. Maybe he's got an Intune subscription and he comes around once a month and touches things up. But I think at the bigger levels where you've got 100 machines, 500 machines, 1,000 machines, 10,000 machines, 50,000 machines, unless... your plan is to walk away from domain joinedness, then your plan is not to walk away from group policy. Like that's
I cannot imagine having 10,000 machines and not having.
Well,
domain.
That's the question. So
that is like Windows 3.1 era. Just like
let's play devil's advocate. Let's say that Microsoft's got it perfectly right, and maybe they do, and you're going to just join Azure Active Directory and get everything controlled with Intune.
Right.
Assuming everything is right there. The administrator themselves should decide, is it enough? If it is enough, that's one thing. If it's not enough, then the current state of affairs probably is enough, and that's the current directive. Again, is the device domain joined? And if yes, the answer, according to the Intune blog, is manage with group policy and or config manager.
Well, this brings us to a whole conversation about policy pack as a whole, because what policy pack brought to me was group policy for stuff other than Microsoft products.
Did I pay you for this intro? That was super nice. Yeah.
But I remember us talking about this at Tech Ed a few years ago, and I'm like, dude, people need to know.
I appreciate that. That's exactly right. So Policy Pack got its start with the idea of group policy does a fantastic job with stuff in the box, but how do you extend it to manage things like Firefox, Flash, Java, actually turn the thumb screws even more with Internet Explorer and Office and so on. We got our start there. We were world famous for that problem solving, just getting every setting to just about every damn application you might have and managing the heck out of that. We do a great job at that. I think since the last time we talked, though, we've actually expanded. One of my new favorite things we do is this ability check. Hold on. Let me paint the picture. Your user calls you for the 43rd time and he says, I don't know why, but every time I go to my time card app in this browser, it looks all funny. What should I do? And you're like, oh, he's in Chrome again. Hey, can you close Chrome, Mr. User, and just can you open it up correctly this time in Firefox? And he does, and the problem goes away. We have this thing. It's called Browser Router, and what it does is if he opens up a website in the quote wrong browser, it will automatically force open the right browser and also set the document rendering modes accordingly if he needs it.
Nice. Well, you know what I'm laughing about is I remember using Policy Pack ages ago to get Flash off of machines because it was such a problem. And now the browsers are doing it themselves.
In that case, the world has come around. But there's so many things in so many applications where if you don't have the right security settings that you're so much more vulnerable. And we give not only guidance, but also this, you know, point and shoot ability to just guarantee that, you know, our little catchphrase is what you set is what they get. And it will deliver that. But if we go back another click, we talked about how the kind of only solutions to getting settings out to your non-domain joined machines are going to be, well, Intune or AirWatch or those kinds of things that use MDM.
Right.
But we've got another choice. So Policy Pack has this thing called Policy Pack Cloud Service. And hold on, wait for it. It lets you take real chunks of group policy objects and upload them to the cloud and download them to domain joined and non-domain joined machines over the internet. Thank you very much.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's very because clever. At the end of the day, you're going to have the scenario that Microsoft says you're going to have. You are going to have, let's call it the 80-20 rule. You're going to have 80% of machines that are domain joined, maybe 10% that are not domain joined, and then you're going to have some that, like, they are domain joined, but for the love of God, they don't check in. They never come to the office. Yep. And if they do, they don't use the VPN right. What PolicyPack Cloud does is it lets you, like I said, take real chunks of group policy objects, upload them to the cloud, and guarantee those settings to your domain joined or non-domain joined machines. Real GPO stuff.
That is very cool, sir.
It's awesome. I'm impressed. It just freaking works, which is great. We have one of our customers has guys backpacking in the Himalayas. They're like, you know, a do-gooder organization. I love that guy. You know, I'm not a guy in the Himalayas. I appreciate anybody who could do that for a living. But he uses like tin can 2G links or whatever. And when a new security concern comes out on his real Windows machine, what does he do? He creates a real GPO. He exports the chunk that he needs. He uploads it to PolicyPack Cloud, and in the Himalayas over a 2G tin can piece of crab link, boom, he gets a real group policy setting over the internet. It's a miracle.
That is amazing. Jeremy, so much fun to talk to you. It's great to see the product moving forward. It's certainly worth a look for folks who have to manage these machines. And nice to see business as usual, just bigger and broader.
Thank you, my man. It's a fantastic time to be in IT, even though it's confusing. It's still fantastic.
It wouldn't be exciting if it didn't have a bunch of things changing at once.
That's it.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, man.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.